how fast they fall. That's what we're learning with Bud Light here. Once the number one beer in America, it has been dethroned. No longer wears the crown. What do you know? Being replaced by another company's brand. That would be Constellation Brands, Modelo Especial. Hello, welcome to the program, everyone. I am Trish Regan. Good to have you here. This is the Trish Regan Show. Portions of the show are brought to you, as always, by LegacyPMInvestments.com. If you're interested in investing in gold, go check them out. You can buy gold and silver right there online at LegacyPMInvestments.com. We're going to talk a little bit about the Fed and inflation coming up. But first, beginning the day with Bud Light no longer holding the number one position as America's top beer. Now, none of this surprises us now, does it? We knew this was coming. It was quite evident. All you had to do was read those tea leaves. It took Wall Street a little while to catch up. Quite a while, what, about a month before any analyst was even willing to talk about it? You see, they don't like to get into these treacherous territories, and they don't like to say, hey, you know, the company's not going to do well. That would be the parent company, Anheuser-Busch, because of the uprising, if you would, among the customer base. But it was pretty obvious, really, right from the beginning, that this was a no-win scenario on both sides, by the way. Because those that are in favor of the LGBT community and think it was a great idea to have Dylan Mulvaney as an influencer advertising the product, well, they're not happy. And then believe me, you know what? The core customer that was out there drinking Bud Light, well, you're not happy either. Now, are you? Nor is Kid Rock, for that matter. So consequently, what we're seeing is the sort of unraveling of all of this, and people are looking for substitutes. Now, the beer industry overall has struggled for some time only because there are substitutes, right? A lot of people have moved to seltzers or to wine or all these other things that you could possibly drink and said, you really need to go and drink that Bud Light, which I would argue, and I'm sorry for those of you that may have liked it, I would argue was never really the best product to begin with, right? It wasn't, at least for my taste, where I would choose to spend my money or what I would actually drink. So Bud Light had a lot of cards, if you would, stacked against it. And then it managed, via its VP of marketing, Alyssa Heinerschneid, and her boss, to totally ruin itself, losing some near $30 billion in the process. I want to point out that the stock actually did close a little bit higher today, $56.67 a share. Maybe investors are like, okay, like maybe the worst is over. I'm not so sure, because if you look at the numbers here, what you're seeing is that things are actually getting worse for Bud Light. This just coming in, sales fell the most they've ever fallen in the last week, down 24.6%. This is according to Nielsen Bump Consulting, 24.6%. On the other hand, the new number one brand that's taken over, Modelo Especial, and is owned by Constellation Brands, its sales were up 10.2%. So they now have 7.3% of the market share nationwide, while what do you know? Oh, forgive me. They have 8.4% of the market share nationwide. That would be Modelo Especial by Constellation versus 7.3% from Bud Light. This is not a hard one to predict. I mean, this is what those ESG folks keep getting wrong. There's this desire, if you would, to implement this political correctness into our capitalist system. But, you know, the two things don't always jive that well. And the reality is, if your goal is to make the most possible money for shareholders, then sure, maybe you want to expand your brand. Maybe you want to, you know, diversify your brand, et cetera. But you certainly don't want to alienate the core customers in your brand, which is exactly what they managed to do. I mean, it's just textbook in how to ruin a brand. Remember that movie? Was it Kate Hudson, How to Lose a Guy in 10 days, 9 days? How to lose a brand overnight. I mean, really and truly, just in a matter of days, you saw this just ricocheted. And I think it's going to continue to do so, because as I look at some of the other brands within their portfolio, and I'm talking about Budweiser, I'm talking about Stella Artois, all of them are also seeing a decline in sales. Now, you could say on the one hand, maybe that's just that people are diversifying and they're finding new things to drink, or maybe it's that customers have figured out, quite literally figured out, that this company is more than just Bud Light itself. And so they're now saying, well, wait a second, I don't want to actually patronize any of these brands. And consequently, you see the decline in Stella Artois. You see the decline in Budweiser. I mean, there's a whole bunch there. And the beneficiary happens to be Constellation. The other beneficiary I've talked about before, in fact, I have a very good friend, very, very smart investor, who within days of this whole scandal breaking with Dylan Mulvaney said, you know what? I'm going to go buy shares of Molson Coors. I told you about that. He actually just sold them, interestingly, because I think they're up some 20 some odd percent in that time. His feeling was people were going to make that trade, and they were making the trade to things like Miller Lite. Miller Lite has run into a couple of things as well. We've talked about it. Some of their influencer commercials that they've put out have caused people to kind of scratch their heads and say, I'm not really so sure about this company. But it wasn't as egregious, shall we say, as what we saw with Dylan Mulvaney. It didn't touch the same nerve. And thus, I do think that it hasn't suffered the same fate. So their stock has done really well, while, what do you know, Anheuser-Busch is down some 15%. So nearly $30 million in market cap loss. Just unbelievable. And what this should be, what this really should be, is a wake-up call to the ESG community. Environmental, social governance, DEI, diversity, inclusion experts out there that want to somehow score a company and decide whether or not to invest in it based on whether they think it is environmentally, socially friendly enough. Because being great on ESG doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be great when it comes to shareholder returns. Because we little, you know, consumers, we have some say in things. Now, do we not? And boy, did consumers make their voices heard. We have a lot to talk about today, including more on Target. You know that one, including more on Tucker Carlson, including much more on Donald Trump and the media in general. So we're going to get to all of it. I do want to just welcome all of you here. As you know, this is a live show. So in the live show, I'm looking at your comments. When you see me looking over to the computer, that's how you know I'm out there reading your comments and welcoming you all. It's really good to see you. We even have someone so far away as Portugal. It's really late in Portugal. Well, not too late, maybe around 11 or so. But anyway, hello to Francisco in Portugal. Jake, great to see you here. Robert as well. DJ, I see a lot of familiar faces. Dan and John, good to have all of you guys here. And Annalisa telling us she doesn't go to Target either. So Target, guys, is actually up a little bit in today's trading, but I don't think it's tremendously significant, and I'm going to tell you why. It traded up 3.5%. It's at around $133 a share. This is a stock that was trading near 160, above 160, before the whole ordeal with the tucked swimsuits and the binders for June emerged. I mean, come on. I mean, that was sort of, you know, when they jumped the shark, so to speak, because, you know, don't forget, they've done this for years. Plenty of companies have done this for years, and they've had the rainbow onesies out there for the kids, the babies, and lots of, you know, happy rainbow clothes, and nobody took issue with it. But for some reason, this struck a nerve. Why did it strike a nerve? I spoke with Jerry Storch the other day, who used to be the vice chairman at Target. I encourage you to go and listen to that whole interview, because it's really fascinating what he has to say. They have a lot of problems at Target. A lot, including theft, including messy aisles and a lack of inventory control. But he also said, like, look, this is a PR disaster. It's a PR disaster because for whatever reason, nobody thought it was worthwhile enough to run it up the food chain that they were going to have this special swimsuit and these special binder tops for girls. And once you start getting into that, well, you're getting into some really kind of treacherous territory that is going to offend some people. And so as a business, management should have been sensitive to that. And if management did not know about it, well, then I think they need new management. I think that Brian Cornell, the CEO of the company, who historically had done a pretty decent job, he's running into some roadblocks here with his messy aisles and all his theft and his lack of inventory control. And now this. So Target needs new management. Bud Light likely needs new management too. And I don't just mean Bud Light, but I'm talking about Anheuser-Busch. Do you actually think that the company can be led through this whole ordeal? Imagine if you're a distributor right now. Imagine if you have the license to distribute this stuff. I mean, how unfortunate is it for you? Because you didn't ask for this, right? Like, you're just trying to make sure that your factory's up and running and you're distributing the beer. And all of a sudden, and we've heard repeatedly from so many distributors how distraught and angry they are about this whole thing because their businesses are being ruined in the process. So you get shareholders losing money 15% decline in the stock price for more than $27 billion in market cap being wiped out, while simultaneously, you have distributors all over the country saying, well, wait a second, I didn't sign up for this. How is this fair? You know what? It's not fair. It's not fair. And that's why I do think the CEO's job is on the line right now, as it should be. But also, we need to think long and hard and have some real conversations about this ESG BlackRock nonsense. And that's what it is. Because last I checked, and call me old-fashioned, but you know what? Earnings matter. Profitability matters. Your ability to sell matters. Your revenue matters. And it's not just about whether or not you can make people feel good, because that's great. You know, we can go a lot of different places to feel good. We actually need to see, as they used to say, like, where's the beef, right? Remember the Wendy's commercial? We actually need to see the money. We actually need to know that the business is succeeding. And when you lose sight of that as a business, because you've got your embeds from the ESG community working in your marketing department that somehow want to change the world one retailer at a time, well, then you're going to have a whole lot of problems. Turning to another company with a whole lot of problems, that would be another company that seems to have sort of forgotten its customers. And I'm talking about where I used to work, Fox News. Fox has now got itself in all kinds of trouble. So you know the story. Tucker Carlson used to be there at 8 o'clock, and he's not there anymore. And he was kind of unceremoniously shown the door, and wow, it was like the Band-Aid got ripped off in a very big and very public way. And now there's a lawsuit going on, et cetera, or the possibility of a lawsuit, I should say. We're going to get to that in a second. But what's amazing to me is the ratings, much like Bud Light sales, just plummeting. I mean, actually, Fox is doing worse because I think their ratings have been cut in half. At least Bud Light's just down 24.6%. I mean, you're talking about a massive decline in ratings throughout the entire evening there at Fox News. And a big part of that is because they hurt their customer. They hurt their viewer when they got rid of that 8 o'clock time slot that was Tucker Carlson's. So you've had kind of a rotating cast, and there's talk of redoing the whole lineup. We've talked about that before. They're trying to figure it all out. In the process, they've lost a lot of market share to none other than Newsmax. Newsmax, which is growing in ratings. By the way, I'm on Newsmax this evening at 8 o'clock, so make sure you tune into Eric Bolling's show for that. But Newsmax has actually been the beneficiary, as have, by the way, I think a lot of YouTube channels, podcasts. People are going elsewhere for their news. I'm so glad you're here. Quick reminder, if you haven't subscribed, do make sure that you subscribe. Anyway, so Fox is struggling with all of this right now. And amid this struggle, do you want to see what they put on their screen? Have you seen this? Because the media is going crazy about this one. It's front page in the New York Times. It's at the top of the AP bulletin. It would be Associated Press. And it's because Fox put up this particular lower third while they were playing dueling speeches from Donald Trump and President Biden. Here we go. Take a peek, everyone. They're referring to, can you see this? If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, make sure you come over and join us on the YouTube channel. And vice versa, if you're watching on YouTube, do make sure that you follow the podcast on Apple Podcast. Anyway, so they refer to President Biden as the wannabe dictator. I mean, wow. You're talking about trying to get your audience back, right? Wannabe dictator speaks at the White House as he has his rival arrested, his political rival arrested. Wannabe dictator speaks at the White House after having his political rival arrested. That is what we saw, ladies and gentlemen, for the lower third on Fox News. This would have been, I guess, last night. I believe it was in the 8 o'clock show. You know, that time period that they're really, really struggling with. I don't know what was going on that one, because you know what? That's a stretch. Even for the most conservative broadcasters, that would be a stretch. Now, we may say that right amongst each other. We may joke about it. We may laugh about it. You know, it kind of feels like a dictatorship over there in the Biden White House. We may say that and laugh. But when you put it as a very official breaking news, lower third, that's what we call it. It's also referred to as a chyron in the news business. You notice I don't have any of those here. Sometimes I put them up for you guys, but you know what? It's just kind of a lot of extra bells and whistles that I don't think we need because you guys are more intent on hearing the actual content. Anyway, they put those things up and they're supposed to be kind of official. And this one clearly wasn't because somebody was either poking fun at something. It could have been that you had someone joking around in the control room and put that in and then forgot that it was there and didn't quite realize it. And so, boom, it was live and everybody went, whoa. Well, this is just making the media's day. The White House press secretary was asked about it. She said she could have like 700 and some odd million things to say about it, but she wasn't going to say anything. And I'm guessing there it was probably just an honest mistake and somebody was goofing around and they didn't really mean to do it. But now it's a whole big thing. I mean, if you really wanted to dig into it, you could say, oh, is this Fox really trying to win that audience back? And if so, wow, like how aggressive are they willing to get? I'm guessing, and I'm just going to be kind and deferential here and give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm guessing that it probably was just an absolute mistake with somebody joking around and somehow that got put on the air. Anyway, Fox is not joking around when it comes to this man right here.
Hey, it's Tucker Carlson. The Biden administration arrested Donald Trump this afternoon. They had him arraigned and fingerprinted in a Miami courthouse like the accused felon he now technically is. These were the first steps in a process that is designed to put Donald Trump behind bars for the rest of his life. Cable news carried every moment.
So Tucker's making the point that this was bound to happen, that it was kind of in the works for a long time. And it was in the works because Donald Trump dared to take on the establishment, dared to take on the military establishment and the big money that is behind that military establishment. A very interesting point, one that Tulsi Gabbard has suggested multiple times as well. But what's funny about this entire thing is, you know, he's on there. He doesn't have any commercials. He doesn't have legacy precious metals, and he's not talking about gold, or he's not talking about, you know, what are some of the other things that we've had lots and lots of different advertisers on this show. He doesn't have that, suggesting therefore he's not making money from that. There's no way to really monetize that I know of on Twitter right now with that video content. It may change in the future. And Elon Musk has said, I'm not paying Tucker Carlson anything. So what's interesting is he's doing this. He's just out there speaking, talking about the news, creating kind of a show, a short show on Twitter every day. And somehow Fox News is really, really upset about this. So upset that they are threatening to sue him, saying that he is in breach of his contract. Interestingly, the counterpoint to that being made by his attorney, and this has been publicly reported, is that no, Fox actually breached its contract. They were actually fraudulent in however they were approaching whatever they did with him. For example, saying, okay, we're not going to share your private messages that you put out on your cell phone. We are continuing to have you here in our employment. If you recall, they made a decision, I guess, on Friday to get rid of him. I'm sure they had been talking about it for some time. And yet he didn't find out until Monday while he was still preparing the show. So there were a lot of false promises he's alleging, and consequently, they were the ones that broke the contract, and they are therefore responsible for still paying him, right, because of that pay or play clause. And they're saying no, because you're out there doing work for somebody else. Well, is it really work if you're not being paid? I would just ask that question. I'm not a legal scholar, but if he's not being paid and he's just out there sharing his thoughts, much like he would at the dinner table, there just happens to be a camera and he happens to have a big Twitter following, can he not do that? It's an interesting question. The other interesting question here from a legal perspective is the whole non-compete thing, the whole idea that a network can keep you off the air and prevent you from doing what you do for what, a year and change? Can they actually do that? It's called a non-compete clause. It's very standard in so many media contracts. I've always thought they were entirely bogus, but of course you have to take it on. And he's taking it on. He's taking it on, and he's got the Biden administration on his side on this one, because Lina Khan, who's over at the FTC, has actually published some writings on this saying these non-competes are basically bogus. So this will be an interesting story to watch. Mark my words. Speaking of brands, there's a theme here to this podcast. Speaking of brands, CNN has had a heck of a time, has it not? they are down in the doldrums, I guess, with Fox, because MSNBC just surpassed them all. Imagine that. MSNBC is now winning the ratings race. Well, CNN has just been through ATL and back because they I guess, made the unfortunate mistake of airing a town hall with Trump, who is most likely going to be the GOP candidate for the presidency. But, you know, he's like the guy that you can't ever talk about, the name that you can't ever say. It's kind of getting a little bit strange. And we saw this strangeness play out in real time as CNN and MSNBC, by the way, had to cover the ordeal yesterday of the arraignment. Trump going and turning himself in there in Miami. And they didn't like it. They didn't like having to do any of it. And they certainly, I mean, they liked some of it, right? They liked talking about the 37 count indictment. They liked all that. But you know what they didn't like? They didn't like when Donald Trump was sort of celebrating with people after the fact. In fact, Jake Tapper, who's one of the anchors, quote unquote anchors, supposed to be non-opinionated there over at CNN, he's definitely got an opinion or two. Watch him here as they cut away to some of the video showing Trump with his supporters there in Miami.
The FBI.
Whatever this spectacle is that's unfolding before us, let's remember what this case is about. Let's remember what this indictment charges. Again, Donald Trump is charged with a series of federal felonies for mishandling the most sensitive government documents that we have and for obstruction of justice, along with Walt Nauta, who is charged with intentionally setting up lies to the grand jury, to the FBI. Any way you look at this, and again, despite whatever may be going on in that restaurant, this case isn't going to be settled legally in a cafe. It's going to be settled in the court based on the facts and law.
The folks in the control room, I don't need to see any more of that. He's trying to turn this in. He's trying to turn it into a spectacle, into a campaign ad. That's enough of that. We've seen it already.
For himself.
Oh, wow.
He's really freaking out. Some of the sound that I told you we're not.
Let's just talk about what we just saw. So Jake Tapper completely freaking out. Oh, my gosh. We don't need to see any more of that. We don't want to see Donald Trump getting any support from anybody. Turn it off. Turn it off. By the way, it was already off. Like, it wasn't even running. But he just has to remind, he's like grandstanding there, just telling the whole control room, hey, you little minions in the control room, don't you dare show that again. Don't you dare, or I might have a real hissy fit right here on set right now. Anyway, it's just, they weren't even showing it. But nonetheless, we know where he stands. He was actually interviewing AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who I would argue is a real problem for the Democrat Party and a real problem for our country. And on so many levels, including her total lack of intelligence and her belief that somehow we should be a socialist system, when we all know the success we have did not come from socialism. Anyway, Jake Tapper talking with AOC and having to cut away to something he really didn't want to have to play. Do we have to play this stuff? Jake's wondering. Watch.
For himself.
We do have now some of the sound, as I told you, we're not, and the audience, we're not carrying his remarks live because, frankly, he says a lot of things that are not true and sometimes potentially dangerous. but we do have some, portion, so you can get a sense of his state of mind and how he might be framing his defense. I want to get your reaction to it. We're going to start, of course. I just want to note, he begins this this clip we're about to show you by making unfounded claims about the charges against him, untrue.
Oh, there's like this giant preamble, right? He's got to like set the whole thing up over and over and over just when you think he's going to play it. Nope. We have to say something again because, gosh, this guy is so, so dangerous. It's a little much. It really has become just a little much, shall we say. And so this is America's frustration, right, with the media right now, that they pretend to be not biased, and yet their bias is so evident. I mean, sitting there with AOC, for goodness sakes. For goodness sakes. Anyway, it's clear we know where they stand. And all of this is happening amid a very sort of curious time. We're going to get to some of the Burisma stuff in just a second. But I have one more media clip I really want to show you because there's one other guy who has a few things to say about this. I'm really sort of amazed they get away with this. I may not have it, actually. So I will just tell you about it. In this particular case, I am referring to Chuck Todd, who is anchor, I put that in quotations because anchor actually used to mean something, but he's really more of a commentator there on MSNBC. And he's about to go to the same exact event that freaked out Jake Tapper because people are, you know, high-fiving Donald Trump. And he refers to them as MAGA Hispanics and says, this is just so horrible, basically. I'm paraphrasing, you know, this ordeal that the country's going through because he's appealing to these people that come from Cuban descent or Venezuelan descent down there in Miami. They are MAGA Hispanics who have seen the threat of fascism or totalitarianism in their own countries, and they worry about that here. And so how crazy is this? How sort of perverted is this that he would actually play upon that? And he makes this big deal about MAGA Hispanics. And I would just say that was, again, another odd moment for the media, because let's not kid ourselves. I mean, I'm not going to make excuses for Donald Trump and why he didn't turn over the 120 boxes earlier. He could have made life maybe a little bit easier for himself. But let's not forget the pure bias, both within the government and also within the media. I mean, that is for sure in existence. If it didn't exist, then, by the way, we wouldn't have had to go through the whole Mueller report. We wouldn't have had to go through the whole Trump dossier that everybody was convinced, including, I'm sure, Chuck Todd, Rachel Maddow, Jake Tapper, all these people, they were so convinced that was all real and that somehow Donald Trump was an agent of the Russians. And when you think of what this country was put through, when you think about the 51 ex-spies, now political hacks, that came out with that letter to Politico and said that the Hunter Biden laptop was nothing but a bunch of misinformation, when it turned out, what do you know? It was actually something that was under investigation by the FBI and continues to be under investigation by the FBI. Again, more on that in just a moment. Well, that kind of says it all, right? They lied. They lied to us. They lied to you. The media's in on the lie, and then they want to keep perpetuating it. So you can understand why maybe people who have come from countries where the government repeatedly lies to them, you can understand why they might have some sympathy for the situation, can you not? And part of what they were trying to do at CNN, we'll see whether or not they're ultimately successful. I don't think they will be. I think that you have a lot of deep-rooted liberalism within the organization that prevents people that are there from really being able to see things clearly. And I say clearly, and I'm not saying like you got to be totally to the right, but you can't be so far to the left that you don't even understand the other side, right? And while big management, and I'm talking David Zaslav and, of course, Malone, who are over there that would like to change the organization and actually see a little bit more even-handedness at CNN, they can't quite get there because the organization itself has so many of these embeds that think and feel so strongly about so many of these issues. So to the point where they just can't understand why any of these people from Venezuela or from Cuba would actually look at what we're going through in this country right now and think, hey, gee, you know, maybe there are some similarities. But indeed, there are some rather curious things that I do think that we have to take into consideration, including the timing of all this. The timing is very interesting. Now, you know, Donald Trump looks at it and he's like, okay, this is election interference because they're trying to do this because I'm running and it's going to make it really hard to run. And then others have pointed to, very interestingly, including Chuck Grassley just the other day, the timing maybe being related to the whole Burisma scandal and allegations, quite serious allegations, that the FBI was investigating the potential for bribery, not just from Hunter Biden, but possibly even the big guy, as he's over and over referred to in some of these documents. And so Chuck Grassley came forward and explained the situation, which is, in a nutshell, that apparently the FBI had a source that explained that someone from Burisma was effectively, this is all alleged, by the way, I'm going to be very, very clear on that, offering some bribes to the tune of $5 million potentially for Hunter Biden, $5 million for Joe Biden, offering these bribes in exchange for getting rid of Viktor Shokin, who was going after Burisma at the time as a prosecutor there in Ukraine. And so, sure enough, Biden did get rid of Shokin, and The question now becomes, was there any money involved in that? In other words, was this a quid pro quo? Was it, in fact, bribery? This is how you know I'm live, by the way, because I had to stop to take a drink of water. Anyway, the question is a real one. And now it has surfaced thanks to Grassley's sources that, in fact, there may be tape recordings of this, at least 15 tape recordings, some of which were with Joe Biden, now President Biden himself, back then was vice president. So Marsha Blackburn, she's a senator from Tennessee. She wanted to get to the bottom of this. She started asking the deputy director at the FBI about this here. And I believe this was today. Take a listen to what she had to say and his response.
Why did you decide to conceal the information in that revelation to the House Oversight Committee? Why did you redact all of that pertaining to the phone calls?
We have exceptional people within the FBI.
You're not answering the question.
Best.
Why did you redact that information?
And they work relentlessly every day to keep this
you
country safe and to protect people.
You chose not to reveal
people.
That the
Period.
Calls were there, and Senator Grassley found it out anyway. Is that accurate?
With regard to the document,
you chose to redact it, yes or no?
We often redact documents to protect
sources. So you chose to redact the fact that there are 17 voice reports.
And he goes on to say, basically, you know, he's not so sure. He's not entirely aware of all of that. But you get the gist of it, do you not? Anyway, so good to see you all here today. We're going to have much more on the topic tomorrow. Make sure you subscribe if you haven't already. And I will see you right back here. Lots to keep discussing. Until then.